ಯದಹಂ ಚೋದಿತ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಭಗವದ್ವೀರ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನೇ. Lord Brahma said, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So, in this verse, we can understand about sincere inquiries. And in the wordings itself, we can understand many qualities of the great devotees. Like the way the question is put, and the way it is received, and way Brahmaji responded to the questions. Even, you know, he was just addressing to his son and also disciple. And the way they respectfully he was addressing, it was really exemplary. It is for us to learn how we have to receive the questions and how we have to respond. And Prabhupada mentions about these questions and answers. In one of the purports, in first canto, second chapter, fifth verse, Prabhupada mentions this world is full of questions and answers. So even, you know, birds, bees, men, everybody is having questions and answers. Prabhupada starts with, you know, the birds when it starts, you know, gets up in the morning from the nest, starts with questions and answers. Then it goes out, and then in the evening comes back, and then again same questions and answers. And every person, every profession, you know, is having some questions and some answers, or looking for answers for various questions. And if you see our transcendental literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is also same. It starts with questions and ends with answers. You can see Bhagavad Gita, the first verse itself is a question by Dhritarashtra. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuhitsava mamaka pandava chaiva kimakuruvata sanjaya. You know, what my sons and Pandu sons, when they are on the battlefield, you know, ready to fight, what are they doing now? The exact translation is O Sanjaya, after my sons and sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage, that is Dharmakshetra, at Kurukshetra, in yet Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? And then Sanjaya starts with complete live commentary of what is going on and what they are discussing, what is the discussion between various, you know, like Krishna and Arjuna and all those things, he completely explains. And Bhagavad Gita ends with, so answer to Dhritarashtra actually. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pato Dhanuddara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuti, Dhruvani Tirma Tirmama. It is wherever the mystic Lord Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. That is my opinion. This is what Sanjaya is saying. So first is the question and then ends with answer. And in between there are so many questions and so many answers. And like when Arjuna was put in that situation in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, actually he wanted to fight. He was looking for the opportunity for 12 plus years. He wanted to fight. But when he saw, you know, all his relatives, friends, teachers, and those who have loved him, and you know, those people he from both sides, and with them he had to fight, and he was completely bewildered. Of course he was put in that situation by Lord Krishna's arrangement, and he was initially thinking on his own. Then he thought, it is too much, and then he surrendered to Krishna. Karpanyadosho pahata swabhava. It starts with that verse. So he asked, and he asked him to please accept me as my disciple. And then, before that, he was giving various arguments and all. Then Krishna accepted him as a disciple. And of course, he is a friend already. And then he started instructing. Then the series of answers. And then Krishna was having so many doubts. Arjuna was having so many doubts, and all these doubts were clarified. And if we see background of this particular verse, Narad Muni was asking in earlier couple of verses about Brahmaji's, under whom he is working, and who is controlling, who is the controller of this creation. There are so many questions he asks. And in short, he wanted to check, that you are the Supreme, whether you are the Supreme, whether anybody beyond you. He was not having any doubt that there is somebody beyond, but he was thinking that he is the Supreme. Even though, Prabhupada mentions in purport, even though Narad Muni is such exalted personality, like Arjuna, he was also put into that bewilderment. So that, these questions are answered for our benefit. See, we can understand our ability to ask questions. After hearing full class, and if anybody asks that, is there any questions? Hardly we have any questions. So one reason is that most of our questions are answered here. Because there are so many answers, we may not have more questions, because so many answers we have, we have to follow that, imbibe that in our life actually. Another question that we may not be thinking. So, other reason. So, we may be just, hearing. And it is good to hear the transcendental subject matters, but it is also good to ask whatever sincere questions comes to our heart, actually, our mind. It is better to ask. And sometimes it is given as a service to someone to ask questions. At that time, we have to do that service very sincerely. And even the first verse of Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jijnyasa, now that you have this human form of life, we should ask, what is absolute truth? And how we have to approach a spiritual master with the questions also is mentioned. So, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasthena sevaya. So we have to, serve the spiritual master, and then humbly we have to, ask the questions. It is not, we should not be asking questions in a mood of challenge. It should not be a challenging question. And we can see the same thing with in case of Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die in 7 days by Shungi, and he would have easily counter-cursed with his kind of power, his kind of purity, he would have counter-cursed. He was a very powerful king, and also he was a great devotee. Otherwise, he would have just requested Shringi or his father, Shamikrishi, to just withdraw this, because he was having so much of responsibility. He was the emperor of the world. And he didn't do any of this. He just took this as an opportunity. He realized that this is the arrangement of the Lord. Now I have the notice. Like, most of us may not have any notice. We may at any time, we may think that we may live forever, but anything, death can come. But in case of Parikshit Maharaj, that 1 week notice was there, notice period. And what did he do? He just left everything and he knew exactly what he need to do, to whom he should approach. He went to the banks of Ganges. Of course, we also would have gone to some banks, but may not be banks of Ganges. Some POSB bank or some banks, you know, to find out how much we have and how much we can, you know, pay to the doctor or hospital to make me survive. We can see today people who are terminally ill, you know, at the last stages of life. Of course, in case of devotees, it is different issue. They are a great asset to this society. That is, devotees understand, you know, what they are contributing. Every soul is contributing. That is a different case. But in case of the general populace, you can see they struggle for so many days and so many, because they refer everything to this body actually. And so much of money is spent on somehow managing to, you know, make this body survive. Whereas the Maharaj Parikshit was very clear what he wanted to do, and he approached great sages. And all the, when he decided, when the sages come to know, because these sages were Trikalajnanis, it is not necessary for Maharaj Parikshit to announce that, you know, now, you know, I am going to Ganges and I am going to do this. And they knew what exactly. They, all the sages arrived from different planets, which includes, you know, like Atri Muni, Narad Muni, Vyasadev, you know, all the great sages. They arrived at the bank of Ganges. And then it was very much urgency actually. At very much urgency he asked, what I should be doing? You know, I am cursed to death. Now what I should be doing? And what a man should do any given time, or when he is, you know, dying. You know, dying man, what is his priorities, what he should be doing? So at that time, all the sages assembled. They saw Sukadeva Goswami, who also just appeared at that particular time. And everybody unanimously selected Sukadeva Goswami as the speaker who should be speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami was completely pure. You know, he was just roaming around like a mendicant actually. He was not even like, you know, he was roaming naked actually. He was, you know, when he born, it is very special actually. He was in the womb of his mother up to 16 years of age. And when he came out, he started walking. He was having all the knowledge actually. And further he realized, and then so all the sages decided he is the right person to speak on the subject matter. And they have requested Sukadeva Goswami to address. And Maharaj Parikshit asked these questions, that a man who is going to die, I don't know the exact wordings, I am not referring, you know, what he should hear, what he should chant, what he should worship. These are the kind of questions he asked. And there are series of, you know, explanations he gave, and also he was very thankful to take birth in that dynasty where, you know, Lord Krishna was very, very much close to this dynasty, to his grandfathers. So at that time Sukadeva Goswami understood what is in his mind, and he, you know, started with very nice glorification of Maharaj Parikshit. There is a verse, there is 2.1.1. Variyan yeshate prashna krito lokahitam drupa atmavit sammata apumsam shota vyadishu yaparaha. My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. Answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So this is what the response of Sukadeva Goswami for series of questions by Parikshit Maharaj. And then Sukadeva Goswami starts explaining. And that's how the whole Bhagavatam is revealed. And then, like in case of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asking questions, Sukadeva Goswami asked so many questions. Then in Bhagavatam we can see different levels of discussions, like Vyasadeva explaining, and in between the questions there are different stages. There are various personalities come and they ask questions, and then the answerer answers. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, fifth verse, Munayas sadhu prishtoham bhavadbirloka mangalam yatkritha krishna samprasnu yenatma suprasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So the question, we can see that Loka Mangalam, Loka Hitam or Atma Tattva, these are the various words used, and these are the questions which are beneficial to everyone. Not the mundane questions of this material world, which is mainly related to the four activities: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. There are so many questions may come. If you closely look at, if it is not on the transcendental subject matter, it is somewhere related to these four activities. Whereas these questions are highly appreciated in the scriptures. So series of questions like Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami, and then when the Bhagavatam was repeated the second time, that is at Naimisharanya. The first time at the Ganges, bank of Ganges, and the second time at Naimisharanya, where Rishi is headed by Shaunaka, were asking questions. They are performing yajna for 1,000 years, and after that then they started asking questions to Suta Goswami, who was present during the first recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they asked him, "You just let us know whatever you heard from Sukadeva Goswami. Please reveal to us." And then Suta Goswami answering. And then they had so many series of questions, and then Suta Goswami was answering. And then we can see Vidura asking question to Maitreya, and Vyasadeva to Narada Muni. Like, after compiling all these transcendental literatures, all the Vedas, Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva was not very satisfied. He was not very happy. He was not blissful. So then he approached. Narada Muni appears there, and then there was a discussion. At that time, he informs, he asks Narada Muni, "I have done all these things, but I am not feeling very happy." At that time, Narada Muni mentions that he has given a very complex path, this through Vedas and all this Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, various processes which are too complex. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha process. You have not given anything, any direct process. You have not glorified the Supreme Lord directly in any of these. So, and then he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why this is called the mature fruit. So he compiled this, after compiling all those scriptures. So again, so Vyasadeva's question, Naraji answers. And this makes it again, Vyasadeva is none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead actually, his incarnation, the literal incarnation. Even Naraji, if you see in various incarnations, you can see there are 20 plus. In that, Naraji also is an incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they were put in that position so that they can understand what this whole cosmic manifestation is. What is Supreme Lord? All this information can be revealed. That is why these sincere and most intelligent pure devotees are put in this situation to ask these kind of questions, so that all these scriptures are revealed and human beings can take advantage of this. And it is very unfortunate if you are making use of these questions and these answers. And you know, we are really grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who has, you know, translated all these literatures and written such detailed purports to all these literatures for our benefit. And we can understand how much time and energy Prabhupada must have spent in all these translation works and so much of, you know, publication of spiritual literatures in English language. And in our condition, we are not even able to read, forget about, you know, scrutinizingly studying all the scriptures. At least in my condition, I can say that if we are struggling to read, our problem is we do not have faith, full faith. That is why we engage ourselves in various other activities, basically four activities. We are busy in that, and we don't have enough time for these scriptures. And we should try hard, sincerely, to understand and perfect our life, this human form of life. Then we can see Mother Devahuti asking question to her son Kapila Dev. Even Hiranyakashipu asked questions. Hiranyakashipu asked question to Prahlad Maharaj. Where is he? Where is Vishnu? He was also searching for Vishnu in one way. Of course, not very lovingly, but he was also looking for Krishna, Vishnu. And then Prahlad answers and also shows him he is here. And we can see what happens after that. Narasimha Dev finally answers. And when Lord appears, even any kind of personality, any kind of demon, he is also liberated actually. So that is the greatness of the Supreme Lord. And in Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 8th verse, Dharma swanustita pumsa vishvaksena katasya notpadayet yadiratim shamaye vahi kevalam. He said that the occupational activities of a man performs according to his own position are only so much labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of personality of Godhead. Whatever occupational engagement we do, if we are not able to spend time for Krishna consciousness, and if all the time, if we are working and working, thinking that one day we retire or one day we get time for Krishna consciousness, then whatever occupational engagement we are doing, it is a useless labor. It is very clearly mentioned in the very translation itself. It is not purpose, it is in the translation itself. So it is very necessary for us to engage our time. Like in one of the classes I was hearing, wherein it was very nicely put that we think that, you know, we need this profession, we have to take care of our profession, our job and our family, and also we have to do Krishna consciousness, also we have to do bhakti. But actually it should be other way around. We have to do bhakti, we have to take, you know, have this, you know, Krishna consciousness process, and to support this, we may have to engage in some material activities. So it should not be other way around. And also in other words, kamasya nendriya priti labo jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa. You know, tattva jignyasa, this is the goal of life. Life's desires should never be directed toward self-gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, just to keep the body and soul together. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So we can see many such instructions from Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, about what should be our inquiry, what should be the subject matter of our inquiry, what should be the subject matter of our questions. We can see in Chaitanya Leela, Sanatana Goswami, who was the Prime Minister of the Nawab's dynasty, and he was a multi-millionaire. And not only that, he was, he come from a very highly elevated Brahmana class, Saraswat Brahmins, and he was highly learned. He was learned in not only in Vedic scriptures, also Persian and Arabian literatures, scriptures. So he was having all opulences. But when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Varanasi, he just fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu and he said, "Mahaprabhu, I don't know what I should be doing. Who am I? Where I come from? What should be the goal of my life? I don't know any of this. In spite of that, people call me a scholar. And ashamedly, I believe that I am a scholar. What I should be doing?" At that time, with the tears in his eyes, Mahaprabhu embraces him and says that, "You are such a learned scholar. You know the answer for all these questions. But to show to the world that how to surrender, you are asking these questions." And then Mahaprabhu reveals, it was a very, very detailed discussion we can find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can see he was absolutely on the top of the line, materially, spiritually, by position. So he can come down to this level, and he was surrendered. And this is sincerity, and this is the right inquiry one should do. So these great souls, they are showing us from their examples. And about these subject matters, even Srila Prabhupada always encouraged questions. We can see there are so many conversations between disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Even there are some people who are not even devotees, who used to like something, and they used to find something about this movement. They used to come and ask questions, and Prabhupada was entertaining all kinds of questions. And even Prabhupada was even having debates with the disciples, actually, so that they can prepare themselves for all kind of questions, challenging questions. Like, as a devotee, when we ask questions, we should not be asking challenging questions. We should be very sincere. Otherwise, it may be offending. But we cannot expect that from everyone. When we are preaching, all kind of questions can come. So at that time, we should be prepared. So Srila Prabhupada prepares his disciples to answer any kind of questions. This is really a great thing about this particular movement. We can see at every lecture ends with, "Is there any questions?" Of course, out of humility, devotees may say, someone else will answer, or, so I'll pass it to question to someone. But when we are sitting on this Vyasasana, with the blessings, we are empowered to answer these questions. It is really great mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langa Yategirin Yatpurva Tamaham Vande Sri Guru Dhinasare. We are dumb. We don't have any knowledge. What qualification we have here, particularly, you know, for me to sit here and to discuss the subject matter, which is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, highly realized souls, and Vyasadeva. So what qualification we have? It is just mercy of the parampara, because we have shown little sincerity to move forward in this path. So we were blessed to speak. And we should know our position. We should not think that, you know, now we know everything. Now, Tastu. So, you know, that is something totally different, you know. We can see in most of the even spiritual paths, if anybody offers obeisance to the other person only. But we can see here there is an exchange. And this question itself, this particular verse, how Brahmaji responds to his disciple. You are so merciful, he is saying. And this is how the great souls are showing us how we should respond. Sometimes because of a mode of passion, if somebody asks a question, oh, this is the question, okay, fine. So sometimes, you know, this kind of feeling may come, but this is our defect. So the great souls are showing by their example how we should receive the questions. And recently I was listening one lecture by His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, and Maharaj was mentioning about one particular incident. He visited Venkateshwara temple in Pittsburgh. We can see this, you know, many the people from Andhra, you know, the Telugu, you know, the speaking people, they come together and they have these Balaji temples in many parts of the world. It's so wonderful, so nice that, you know, they are like, we can see there are so many temples. This temple itself, the people from India, they came here and they have set up so many. There are 26 of them. It's so wonderful. So like that, you know, there's one temple in Pittsburgh Maharaj was visiting, and the temple president was taking him around, you know, showing all the things. And they really built very beautiful temples. Like, you know, we have one replica of Tirupati Balaji temple in Pune. So wonderful, so huge. Someone from Andhra, he built that actually. He spent some 40 crores of rupees or something. It is so huge complex. So wonderful to build those temples. So, and he was taking them around, and Maharaj was very curious to know about one particular thing, because this particularly these followers of this particular, you know, the particularly the Lord Venkatesha or, you know, Lord Balaji, there are a lot of, in their process, there are a lot of puja, archana, there are so many mantra, tantra, there are so many, you know, the ritual parts. So Maharaj was very inquisitive to know that how, you know, the new generation, American Indians, that is, you know, these temples are set up by these people who have come from Andhra Pradesh, and who are in there now, 50s or 60s, you know, elderly people. And Maharaj see many of them, you know, very dedicatedly, you know, they are coming and they are attending. And Maharaj was curious to know how these all rituals are taken or accepted by your new generation who are born and brought up in this American culture. You want to know the answers? Maharaj asked this actually. And then this person answers that they are least concerned, they are least interested in what we are doing. This is the situation. And in fact, they ask us, why are you doing all these rituals? What is the meaning of this? And we really feel this person who was, you know, answering Maharaj, was in his late 50s, he was saying that we feel, you know, our children may be more elevated than us, because they are at least asking this question. We never ask this question in our life, for lifetime. Because we have been asked to do these rituals, we have been doing. Our parents are doing, our fathers are doing, our everybody was doing. For generations, we have been just doing this. And every one of us are doing like this. And now these people, they may be very intelligent, Because this Western education system, you know, it challenges everything, all the system. You know, this asking questions and having doubts on everything. Because in the Vedic distinct, you will not find the people challenging. Because this knowledge was given from the very young age, and they accept it, there is no way they can think otherwise actually. Because this knowledge is imparted in the young minds itself, and they are so prepared to face any kind of questions here of this material world. So they have no doubt about these rituals or these worship, these parts. But today, we don't have exposure to this kind of things, unfortunately. So, somehow, with the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and this particular movement, somehow, we are in the association of devotees and we are in the position to, you know, inquire and understand these subject matters. Otherwise, it is not in our reach. Because in none of our schools, this knowledge is given. Yesterday, Kinkara Prabhu was mentioning, you know, Atato Brahma Jignyasa, or he was mentioning particular words, that whether these verses were, you know, discussed in any of our schools. And definitely no. Because whatever education system is there, it is because British were ruling all these countries, and they introduced some education system, we just monotonously continuing, and we think we are making, you know, major revolution, major changes in our education system, but we are going round and round and round, and we are there only, we are not moving out of that. There is no question of Atma Tattva or, you know, Loka Mangalam or anything. It is just all what we do, all questions are related to just four activities. And recently, I was in US, I was visiting for some office work, and I was traveling with my colleague. He's from US, he's in his late 50s, he was taking me around different places and all, and also I took his help to visit one of our temples in Philadelphia. So I thought it this temple may be in the middle of the city or somewhere, you know, but this was in one of the residential areas, you know, not very, very much inside the city. It was on the outskirts. It was a long route. And on the way, I saw so many church buildings, and very old church buildings. It may be easily 100 plus year old buildings. Most of them are 100 plus. Because if you see in US, in most of the cities, the big buildings and the, you know, strong buildings are all, you know, all the stone-like structures are all of, you know, 1850, between 1850 and 1930, 1940, most of the constructions. And so these buildings are also looking like that, and they were all dilapidated, and you know, it was not properly maintained. We can see from the compound wall, and we can make out. And all the tall buildings are church buildings. In one road where leading to our temple, I saw at least 10 such buildings. So I was curious, I asked my colleague, you know, all these churches are looking like they are not very well maintained. You know, how people attend these churches, because he was a Christian, and with lot of pain he answered, he's a good Christian actually, with lot of pain he answered that in those days, when I was young, you know, when we around 25-30 years ago, these churches, there was no place to stand. Even we used to have batches, like, you know, thousands of people used to come in one batch between 9 to 10, and then that batch used to go out and the next batch used to come. So, you know, from 10 to 11 and 11 to 12, something like that, so many people used to visit. And now, in a good day, if you get 100 people, they are very happy. You find a lot of crowd is there. And that too he mentioned, that it is all people in their late 50s or 60s or old age people who are visiting these places. And hardly there are any youngsters who are coming to these churches. And this is the situation. And it is really mercy of Srila Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada provided the opportunity for the sincere inquirers. But the way, you know, the material progress in this Kali Yuga, the Krishna consciousness is moving forward. And it is a prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the holy name will be spread in all the town and villages of this whole world. And we can get the indications of this by seeing the sincerity of the people who are in these temples in different parts of the world. They are so sincere. In a place like America, for a grihasthas to, you know, come out of his work and to dedicate for Krishna consciousness, it is not very easy. Because just to maintain yourself, you have to struggle so hard. And really person should have so much conviction, so much faith to do this. And we can see so many families who are doing this. Recently I was hearing from, when I was in US, I met Kadambakaran Prabhu. I was discussing with, he was mentioning about so many, you know, many of us know Kadambakaran Prabhu. He conveyed his regards to all the devotees. So he was mentioning about, he was, you know, we were discussing for, you know, various, he was mentioning glorifying various devotees in US who are Prabhupada's disciples and how they came to this movement. And he was mentioning about one particular young devotee who is son of a, you know, Prabhupada disciples, and who is currently in his around 40s, and he is a grihastha. His name is Gauravani Prabhu. He is an amazing kirtaniya actually, you know, movement. And he is having his, you know, Hare Krishna band, and you know, the group of devotees, they are going different part of the world and then, you know, performing kirtan. And it is so amazing. He is a grihastha with three children and from America actually. In America, you know, this person, my colleague was explaining that how their life is. He's having four children, you know, he is of that time, you know, that is why those people have more children. Nowadays, either they may not have children, or even if they have children, nobody is to look after them. And some of the children are looked after by the government. And it was really painful. And Kadambakaran Prabhu was mentioning one particular thing, incident, a very recent incident, and these kind of things are very common, in commonplace actually, you can find any time. That he was, you know, one boy in his class, he's a speech therapist, you know, this Kadambakaran Prabhu is a speech therapist by profession, and he is, you know, training these people who is having this speech problem, and you know, there are various, particular word is there, I don't remember. There's a technical term for having, you know, who are, you know, mental growth is not up to the mark for them and all. He's having some specialization in those areas. And he saw one boy in his class. He was one of the, you know, the average boys in the class. He was just 14 year old. And this boy was just looking at his wallet and he was opening and seeing something. And Kadambakaran Prabhu asked him that, you know, what are you looking at? And he was looking at a picture of, he just shown this, that. And it was a picture of a small boy. And this boy was 14 year old. And he asked, you know, just who is this? And he said, it is my son. The 14 year old boy. Then he asked that who is looking after this child? My grandma. Grandma is looking after myself and this child. And both are child only actually. And then Kadambakaran Prabhu was explaining how the situation is. There are so many of that, you know, unmarried and children, and then government is, you know, giving them for some individuals who are taking care of them, like caretakers. It is a profession itself for some people who don't have sufficient earnings. They get money from government, some $500, and then they take care of these children who don't have anybody to look after. And this is the situation. And, you know, externally it looks so nice, so many things we hear, and the superpower, and, you know, the great development, the world leader. And but if we get into the inside, these are the situation. And you can see so many drug addicts on the street actually, on the street. And every city, there are areas where it is very dangerous to go into those areas actually. It is not at all safe. But in spite of understanding little bit of this, the whole world is moving towards the Western culture. They are already suffering. And it is still a crucial purpose of mercy that, you know, there is a hope for them. We can see, like, you know, the wonderful devotees like Gauravani Prabhu, and he is inspiring thousands of people. Like we can see here, the amazing devotees. I don't want to name the devotees, you know, who will feel embarrassed to hear that. It's amazing work they are doing. In spite of, you know, here in Singapore it is not very easy to maintain ourselves. To be in this place itself we have to work so hard. It is not the situation in some remote part of India. The life is so simple, so easy. And just a week before visiting US, I visited one small farm in a small village which is started by, you know, which is run by and looked after by Bhakti Raghava Maharaj. Bhakti Raghava Maharaj is disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's an amazing, you know, devotee. And I met Maharaj. Maharaj was there. It is in a small interior village in Karnataka. And it happened to be very close to my native place. Just 30 kilometers I could visit. I was thinking, you know, somebody told me that Bhakti Raghava Maharaj is having some project here. So I could visit there. And Maharaj is trying to develop Varnashrama system in that place. Maharaj is from Canada actually. All the way sitting in a village and practicing Krishna consciousness and bringing people, it is so difficult. It is such a challenge for an American to bring people from, you know, who can come and stay in such austere conditions. And when I entered the place, I saw one brahmachari who could speak very well English and very educated and very dedicated, and he was looking like a villager because he has to work in a farm and they really need that life. And it is so wonderful that many of our ISKCON centers are setting up these farm communities. Like, you know, Belgaum ISKCON center, they acquired a big land. It is very close to the, you know, the reserve forest. It is 450 acres of land, huge land. And they have plans. And their plan is even not to have any electricity. They want to ensure that, they want to create some models that it is not necessary for us to have this, well, all these big industries and so many, you know, things just to manage ourselves, to live and to perfect ourselves, perfect this human form of life. Of course, we may not be mentally prepared to just go and, you know, settle down there from this place, but we can see they are trying their best to create these models. And there are many places there. One of the very successful farm communities in Hungary. It is looked after by Shivaram Maharaj. And so we can see the gift of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wanted to have this movement in different stages, like initially Sankirtana movement, then initiation movement, make disciples, and then the temple, you know, construction of temples and attracting people. And one of the stages is Varnashrama system. Now, the GB is also, you know, taking a lot of initiative in supporting these farm communities. And many of the, you know, the centers are coming out with these projects. Like Bombay, the Chaupati temple is also setting up a project. And maybe by next year it will be ready. Now it is at the inception stage. It is at the, you know, they are in the process of setting up. They have acquired around, they have got some 50 acres of land. Last month I happened to visit this place. It's very nice. And right now around 100 people are staying. Out of that, 50 are, you know, grahasthas, and, you know, the people who are working there, some are brahmacharis. And there are 50 the orphanage children who are, you know, taught Vedic culture and all. There is an orphanage which is attached to, you know, our center in Bombay. And these children are 100 plus people. And they are going to have a lot of facility. They are going to build a lot of facility for people to visit and experience this life. In the Vedic culture, it was very simple because people were largely depending on agriculture, and they, you know, they have these things, and maybe 3 months, 6 months in a year they will work, and rest of the times bhajan kirtan. It was a culture. But today, to take out time for attending Saturday class or Sunday class, we have to plan, and whole year we are struggling like donkeys. Just to what we are doing, we are not even enjoying our proper food actually. We don't have time to have food even. And many of the people, we find that, you know, they bring some refrigerated stuff. and freeze stuff and keep it in the freezer and then put it in the oven and then eat. So this is the lifestyle. And we are very fortunate that because of this, you know, association of devotees, we are able to understand we are not these animals to eat all those things. We have to eat something better, the prasadam, and the importance of prasadam. So amazing. So we can see the both sides, the spiritual path and the material path, and spiritual questions, spiritual inquiries and material inquiries, where it can lead us. And we are very, very fortunate that we are associated with this Krishna conscious movement, and wherein a clear direction is given, and this takes care of any little sincerities we have, and for us there is a clear answer that how we can lead our life in a Krishna conscious way. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions, any additions, any comments?
Hare Krishna, I just had one question. Lord Brahma is addressing in that last line, Bhagavad Virya Darshane, which means that I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. And can you please explain a little bit about that, because that is one line which is not explained in the purport. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the wonderful question. The prowess of the Supreme Lord, we can see from the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, various inquiries and explanation of, you know, how great, how inconceivable the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. We can see just this creation itself. See, we are sitting here in Virama Kaliaman temple, and which everybody know that, you know, it is a recognized temple in Singapore, and we know Singapore is a country. It is just a very, very, you know, the small tiny spot in the world map, and this whole world, you know, it is 2/3 of that is occupied with water, and maybe 1/3 is land. And in that there are so many countries. In that, Singapore is a small place. But Singapore itself is so big also. And then in this universe, this particular universe is a, you know, this particular planet is part of a small speck in part of this particular universe, which is one of the small universes. And there are so many Ananta Koti Brahmandas. For every Brahmanda there is a Brahma. For every universe there is a Brahma. And inside this universe there are so many planetary systems, different levels of planetary systems. And all our scientists, whatever they are seeing, is just within this universe, because there are universal coverings. We cannot see anything beyond this universe. All this within this universe, which is a small speck in the material world, which is just 1/4 the creation, and 3/4 the creation is the spiritual world. And Lord Krishna, He is the supreme controller of all this entire creation. So there is, and His other attributes, various pastimes, it is so glorious. There are so many things to know about that. So He just touched upon that particular thing, the prowess of the Lord. for all these explanations. There are so many things we can speak about Lord Krishna's glory. That is what mean by this particular part of the translation of the verse. As per my understanding, if any other devotees, yes, Prabhuji.
Lord Brahma is saying,
yeah,
I have been inspired to see.
Yes.
So, what is that?
Yeah, because of the sincere question of Naraji, so he has been given the opportunity to speak about the prowess of the Supreme Lord. He is inspired from his question, so that he can explain. If there is no question, now, since you are asking question, we are able to discuss. So, if there are no questions, then just class ends there. So like that, all these literatures are revealed through these questions. And so Brahmaji was very satisfied, very enthusiastic with this question. That is what Prabhupada mentions, that he was very enthusiastic when he heard the questions, because he can discuss about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For these great souls, there is nothing other than the glorifying the Lord or working for the Lord. That's all. So this is my understanding of this particular part for you. If any other devotees would like to add anything, please come from Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Bhava Mangal Prabhu, for giving this nice question. And Prabhuji said this point about Brahmaji being very enthusiastic to answer the questions. One nice point, Prabhuji, that comes out in the last line, Bhagavad Virya Darshane, is the word Darshane. Because the word Darshane here, Prabhupada translates it as in the matter of. But throughout Bhagavatam, we find that the root of Darshane is always to see Krishna. To see Krishna. But here very nicely Prabhupada has stated the word in the matter of. This inspiration that Brahmaji is speaking about actually came because Brahmaji himself, being very much a devotee of the Lord, tried very hard for thousands of years to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. But when he found that by his own potency it was not possible to take darshan of the Lord, then his meditation and his sincere praying to the Lord to somehow infuse him with the power to create, that infusion of energy from Krishna, which is the basis of the prowess of Krishna, actually inspired Brahmaji to continue the creation. So that is why this second canto, fifth chapter, 6, 7, 8, 9 is also related to the third canto, 9 chapter. Because in third canto, 9 chapter, Brahma's prayers for creative energy are actually indirectly referred to in Bhagavad Virya Darshane. Because Brahmaji's inspiration came after the end of his prayers, when actually Krishna came and Krishna appeared before him. That darshan of Krishna is what is being referred here as Virya Darshane. Because Brahmaji prayed to Krishna for inspiration, Krishna gave him inspiration to create and to take darshan of him. And in the whole matter of creation, this word darshan just doesn't mean to take darshan of the Lord. But to take darshan of the Lord also means to act on the darshan. Which is why Brahmaji actually is so perfect in parampara. Because not only did he take audience of Krishna, but because he was so convinced and he had faith in the prowess of Krishna, then he became inspired to create. Actually, Brahmaji is being very, very humble here also, Prabhuji. Because here he says, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, that means you have become merciful to all, you have asked me these questions because the reason why Narada is asking these questions, Brahma is saying, is because I have been inspired. I have been very inspired to see into the prowess of Almighty Krishna. So Brahmaji is saying that he was really, really fortunate to be able to take a glimpse of Krishna's power, because he also got darshan of the Lord and he was given some energy from Krishna to then continue creating secondarily in the process of creation. So this word inspiration, I'm glad you brought this up, because this inspiration is actually very important. The devotees never say that they created. They always say that they are inspired by the power of Krishna to somehow perform an action. So this is nice point, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhu.
I just need to add one point.
Yeah. I just like to add one point. It is that when devotees are inspired, actually the knowledge flows from within. So just like Lord Brahma, when he became inspired, so through his heart the knowledge was received. So it didn't come from any external, because there was no books, there was nothing, it was all darkness when Brahmaji sat down to meditate and do his tapa. So that is the only thing I wanted to add, is that in this case, as Lord Krishna inspired him from within his heart, and whatever was required for Brahmaji to do his creation, everything came from within the heart and the entire knowledge was revealed. Thank you.
Prabhu, you were bringing up this nice point on hearing and devotees asking questions, and how despite the difficulties of our material life, we should try to find the time to sit down to hear and to sincerely inquire. On that point, I was just remembering, there was one episode in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in the third canto, I think it is in the eighth chapter. Maitreya Muni has just started speaking on Bhagavatam because he was inquired by Vidura to do so. So Maitreya then started by saying that he heard this Srimad Bhagavatam from Parashara Muni. And Parashara Muni and Brihaspati, they sat down and they heard Bhagavatam from another great devotee known as Sankhyayana. And Sankhyayana heard this Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankhyayana heard this Srimad Bhagavatam from Sanat Kumaras. So, then Maitreya Muni explains in that third canto, 8th chapter, that Sanat Kumaras, they were already exalted and purified souls. And actually, frankly speaking, if you go according to the parampara that we know, the Sanat Kumaras must have heard Bhagavatam from Brahmaji or Narada Muni, because they were sons of Brahma. But in the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is description that the Sanat Kumaras already completely realized in Bhagavatam when they heard that Sankarshan, Lord Sankarshan, who is in the lower part of this entire system, was entirely realized to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. The Sanat Kumaras traveled all the way from the topmost planetary systems where they were situated, and they came all the way down just to take darshan of Lord Sankarshan, and they then inquired submissively from him to hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam writes that despite the fact that Lord Ananta Sankarshan was completely absorbed in remembering the Lord, he obliged. He opened his eyes half, not fully, but half open, so that he could see Sanat Kumaras, and then he began describing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada writes in the purport in that area that these great sages, you know, the Sanat Kumaras, they came all the way and they came down on the highway. But this highway was by the Ganges River. You know, they didn't go on the road, but they had the Ganges River, because Ganges was coming from the top all the way down, flowing to the bottom. So their hairs were wet. So Prabhupada says the fact that the sages' hairs were wet is indication that this is how they traveled, and this is indication of how much trouble they were ready to take just to come to hear about Srimad Bhagavatam and sincerely inquire about Bhagavatam. So this point is so important for us, because they are showing us how devotees must somehow or another get our hairs wet. Doesn't matter, we don't have to swim to Virama Kalyavan temple. We are lucky, you know, we can just walk. But the fact is, we should make some effort. Swachistitam is very important. Until and unless some endeavor is made by the devotees to come to hear Bhagavatam, endeavor to think seriously about Bhagavatam, then the serious questions within the heart will develop. And the questions can come in the form of comments, they can come in the form of inquiries, they can be asked during the class, they can be asked after the class, but what is important is the devotees must develop this habit, this culture. Habit is not so nice a word, but culture is the way of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam. This culture of knowledge, as Bilva Mangal Prabhu said, this is the key towards having the inspiration of the Lord, which is revealed through the heart. Because unless and until Krishna sees, of course he has causeless mercy to give us all knowledge, but Brahmaji's effort attracted Krishna very much. His 1000 years of meditation, Bhagavatam writes, attracted Krishna very much. And in the prayers after Brahmaji spoke in 3rd canto, 9th chapter, if we read those prayers, if you read the statements of Krishna after that, we find that Krishna gave full knowledge revealed through the heart to Brahmaji on the platform of his causeless mercy, manifested because he became pleased by the efforts put in by his sincere devotee. So Krishna is not bound in one sense to our efforts. We cannot mark our efforts to say, I've come for this man hours, I've clocked this much man hours, Krishna, you must reciprocate. It is not like that. But nevertheless, devotees cannot take for granted that these sessions of hearing Bhagavatam are actually truly, truly the best way and the only way for us to be constantly in darshan of Krishna. So just this point I wanted to share with you. Hare Krishna.
Any other questions? Any other points? Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai Shri Krishna Prabhu ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.